Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. Time now on WHD for our Tech Talk segment. David Snell joins us every week at this time from Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
And good morning to you, Rob.
All right, so this week we are focusing on something very topical as we just coming off the Iowa caucuses. We are in the presidential election cycle, and so we got to be aware of what you read on the internet, because not everything you read is true.
Exactly right. So here come the fake AI-generated news sites that are popping up everywhere, and most of the information on those sites is there to sensationalize and to get eyes on it, because what they do, once you've looked at that website, they get paid on those looks.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, that's a good formula for disaster. Okay, so paid for looks, and so the more outrageous stuff you come up with, the more looks you get, and so you can make more money that way, those being the fake news writers, I guess, or AI is doing this.
Yeah, the rise of the news bots, it's all AI-generated now, and it's proliferating online, especially during this presidential election cycle. But there's a new sheriff in town, not really new, but it's a company called NewsGuard, which calls itself the Internet Trust Tool, and it's been developed and is owned and managed by two very high-profile journalist-type people. So they're pretty well up there where you need to be when you're talking journalism. And the problem with this is that so many of those news bots don't even identify who owns the websites. Mm. So you have to be very careful with what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's for sure, because, again, with so much information out there, this stuff, it just seems the incredible amount of stories that are out there now is just, I don't know, exploded over the last several years, especially when it comes to, you know, people are craving information, and so they go to the internet, we know, for news. But you're right, who's writing the news, David? Now, you know, for most people, you know, really, you'd stick to your brand names. I think you'd kind of know what you're getting, but you got to be careful.
Exactly right. And that's what their goal is here. They're to get you to get onto those websites and get some looks at them, you know, make sure the people are seeing it. And then they're trying to fool Google, Bing, and other search engines into indexing their content. So that brings even more eyeballs to their ad-laden pages for revenue generation. And the thing about that is no one's betting these websites or the information that's on them. So the more outrageous, the more eyeballs they get.
Okay, so NewsGuard is something that's trying to prevent. I mean, I guess that's what we're going to have to do is police ourselves, I guess. And so you could, I mean, it's at some point, some of this stuff will need to get like a certification or something.
Yeah, something's going to have to change in the very near future, just because there's so much stuff out there not being controlled, monitored, or managed by folks that should be doing it. It's all out for revenue generation, and that's the name of the game on the internet. You know, it's vast amounts of clickbait articles to advertise, to optimize that advertising revenue. So I mentioned in the article here that there were three websites out of 49 that they actually looked at, mm-hmm. that even today, they're already down.
Okay.
So as more and more of these websites are identified and reported, the ISPs and other government is working to get them shut down. Just like malware and malware service, command and control service, everyone's trying to get them shut down. But because of AI, this just happens constantly, 24/7, and they just keep popping up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, on one hand, you have people saying, you know, you should be able to, you know, I guess the freedom, you know, to write whatever you want and to say whatever you want, but at least it should be marked as, this is all completely made up stuff. I mean, it is my right, but this is all fake. I have no real facts at all.
Exactly. And with AI, know, today you can kind of tell if an article was written by AI because there's some telltale signs in how it's all written out. But it's getting better every day. So my guess is over the next 6 months, we are not going to be able to tell whether it's an AI-generated news article or if it was something actually put together by a journalist.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I had already seen, well, I mean, this at least wouldn't affect us, you know, Dan, but I'd seen something about, you know, not long, you know, with the AI generated bot delivering the news, like some kind of AI image delivering the news that could replace an anchor person.
And think about that. You could probably get your face on radio that way.
Maybe I could. I don't. The other thing, David, I don't know. Do you know? You know, and this is not so much with the WATD because this is all written by humans here. You get local content written on our website at 959WATD.com. But sometimes you'll see a lot of these newspapers and TV and radio stations are owned by big companies, so they have, you know, their local content. But then at the bottom, I see a lot of stories, and I often wonder where that stuff comes from, because it seems like stuff that's definitely very heavy clickbaity type of material on there.
Usually, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know who's writing that or if that's just a formula, because, you know, I mean, these are legitimate news sites that have all this good stuff up at the top, but down the bottom or something that'll be like, you know, like an article like, you know, Dan McCready and Rob Hakala see how they've aged, or some, you know, some kind of weird story about an act. You know what I'm saying? You see that stuff too.
I do.
Like, boy, you can't believe the photo of so and so. And it makes
right.
me want to go there.
It's all clickbait to get you to click on it, which will in fact generate revenue for the website that that information is hosted on. And you get sucked into that hole, that deep hole, to go looking at how things have changed, or how people's looks have changed over the past 10 years. And in many cases, when you do this, you don't even get to see the information that you initially clicked on.
Yeah, it's always a letdown.
Yep.
So, not that, of course, I would go there very often. But yeah, no, I've certainly felt for some of that stuff, and now I just see it, and you can kind of see it now when you notice it. But obviously, the AI will try to make it more difficult, and so that's the thing to be aware of. So I guess in terms of what people need to know about, David, what would you let people kind of leave people with?
Well, so we all need to vet the information that we're looking at before we take it to heart and then again pass it on. So my suggestion is if folks go to newsguardtech.com, see what the current state of the affairs of journalism might be on the internet, and make some decisions from there. You'll at least see the websites that are identified as being totally or mostly AI-generated, which could and could not be true, we don't know, and then make some decisions as to what type of information you want to take into your own heart and soul.
All right. Check it out, actsmartit.com. That's where David has his blog to learn more about the fake AI-generated news sites out there. actsmartit.com. Right, David?
That's it. Check out my blog link and get some links to newsguard.tech.com.
David Snell, AxeSmart IT in Wareham. Thank you, David.
Have a great day, Rob.
You too. AxeSmartIT.com. And good morning. We continue on the South Shore's Morning News on 95.9 WATD. I'm Rob Hakala with the Morning Team. Great to have you here. In this segment, joining us on the line, we have author, lawyer, and former member of the United States Foreign Service. His name is Otho Eskin, and we're going to talk about the third in the Marco Zorn thriller series. It's called Fire Trap. This follows The Reflecting Pool and Headshot. And Otho joins us now to talk about the new book, Fire Trap. Otho Eskin, good morning.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about, and this is going to be exciting, obviously, the third in your series of thrillers. Tell the listeners about the character of Marco Zorn and if he was modeled after anyone real or...
No, not really. No, it's totally a creation of my imagination, a fictional character. But I wanted to make him very unusual. He's a D.C. homicide detective, former member of the U.S. Army Rangers, and is a very good a very effective police detective, but he's very unusual. For one thing, he rarely carries a gun. He does not like to use violence, and he usually can get away with that by talking to his opponents out of whatever they're doing. Not always. It doesn't always work that way. He's very unusual in that he gets involved in, well, he has a very expensive taste, and in order to pay off his wife for his expensive lifestyle, he must engage in side hustles, which aren't always totally legal. They're not illegal, and he has a very strong moral compass. He never kills anybody. He's violently or substantially opposed to violence in his work in general, and he manages to get in this very dangerous job to avoid violence. But in this particular novel, that doesn't always work. He has to investigate two murders. One is a whistleblower from a big pharma corporation, and the other is a scientist at the Food and Drug Administration. Both are murdered by this criminal drug company. And he eventually has to help. A young teenage woman has been kidnapped and is being held on an abandoned oil rig in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. And he has to go there and save her, and some violence ensues. But he does not commit the violence himself. The reason he doesn't carry a gun is not political or ideological. He has a very traumatic experience in his youth, which is only was not even alluded to in this novel. The reader just has to accept that he doesn't cannot bring himself to use violence against another person, although there are occasions when that standard has to be set aside. Mm-hmm. But basically, this is a novel about a detective who discovers that there is a violent and very dangerous drug being manufactured and circulated and marketed throughout the country, manufactured by a large chemical company, pharmaceutical company, and he sets out to stop the sale of the drugs, and ultimately discovers who is behind this, which turns out to be two psychopathic twin brothers who runs this operation, and Marco Zorn determines to take down the corporation and in a very complicated way, but I won't go into that because I don't want to spoil the plot.
No, we want you to pick up Fire Trap and read it, so not one, but two of these leaders of this company, and of course, with recent headlines, it's not hard to believe that there might be someone at least unethical, perhaps evil, at a pharmaceutical company.
It stretches the imagination, doesn't it? But yes, I'm absolutely convinced that they're there. They're not twin brothers, perhaps, but they're just as bad.
Twin brothers in this company in your book, right?
Yes, right. Correct.
And both of them are evil?
Oh, yes, both of them are equally bad. They're bad in different ways. One is worse than the other, probably, but they're both of them irredeemable and cold-blooded killers in their own right. So they're not nice people.
And as long as they get away with it, the money rolls in, I guess, until someone...
Oh, boy, does it ever. This is a billion-dollar drug.
Tell me a bit, because, Otho, I was... looking through your biography, and I wanted to ask you more about your former career where you were part of the United States Foreign Service. Tell me about that and how this set up your writing career and gave you maybe some material.
Well, I went to law school, and after law school, I joined the United States Foreign Service and served about for a little over 20 years, half of that in Washington, D.C., and the other half abroad in U.S. embassies. And I served in Syria, in Yugoslavia, Iceland, and my final assignment was in what was then East Berlin, the part of the German Democratic Republic, when the wall was up and that country was sealed off from the West. That was there. I was political counselor in the embassy. And, it, of course, all of that feeds in, not directly, but indirectly, to my fiction. But after I completed my career in the Foreign Service, actually I started writing plays, and I had a number of plays produced in Washington and in New York and abroad. In fact, I'm going to have one of my plays produced in London and next April. So I'm keeping my hand in the playwriting business, which affects my writing novels, because I do find myself relying a great deal on dialogue, which I find very effective way to present personality and character, although it does create challenges. I also write in the first person present, which is another challenge. But I like challenges. That's why I wouldn't be. We wouldn't have done all that career if I didn't.
And Otho, I know you mentioned you've got a very busy schedule. What can you tell fans of the series? Will there be more for Marco Zorn?
I'm certainly planning on that. In fact, I've just completed the first draft of the next Marco Zorn novel, this one involving neo-Nazis. I try to up the threat every time. And in any case, yes, I'm very much planning on future appearances of Marco Zorn, who gets in more and more trouble as time goes on.
Mm, and there's always the next threat to be there, and hopefully you want somebody like Marco Zorn to be there.
I have no difficulty finding threats to Marco Zorn and to Washington and to the country as a whole. All I have to do is pick up the paper and read it.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
There's plenty of material to keep me going.
Well, Fire Trap is the new one, and it's the third novel in the Marco Zorn thriller series. We invite you to pick it up. You can find out more on Otho's website, Otho Eskin, OthoEskin.com, and it's out now, Fire Trap.
Yes, absolutely. You can get it at your local favorite bookstore or through Amazon, and I encourage people to do that.
Otho Eskin, thank you so much for being with us on WATD today.
Thank you, Rob, and I enjoyed talking with you.
This on the Shore's Morning News rolls on. I'm Rob Hakala with the morning team. Our Paws and Claws segment, as always, sponsored by the Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call the Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. You can find out more by visiting thecleanteam.net. Thecleanteam.net. All right, well, in this segment, this week we have a new guest to the program. We want to welcome on Chris Prue, who joins us. Chris is with the Guinea Pig Sanctuary. We're going to learn a little bit more about the mission of the sanctuary, how you can help, and maybe learn more about adoptions. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for joining us on our Paws and Claws segment on WATD. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Guinea Pig Sanctuary? Give us a little introduction.
Yeah, good morning. So, yeah, we started our program back in 2009, Kim and Alex, out of their home. We are the only guinea pig-specific, no-breed, no-kill shelter on the East Coast. In 2020, we started in our current location in Salisbury, Mass., and we specialize with guinea pigs doing adoptions, boarding, emotional support programs. We have a ton of different programs. We sell a full range of Oxbow products right at our sanctuary. We're a 501c3 organization. And we were fully funded by private donations, which is not the case with a lot of shelters. So that means anybody's donations and volunteering, all of that is tax deductible. We have hundreds of guinea pigs in fosters, and it's an incredible program that I'm happy to be a part of for the last several years.
Hmm. Tell people about what it's like if people would be interested in having a guinea pig. What are the things that we should know? I suspect, you know, many people may have grown up and had a cat or a dog and may know about some of the things that I would need to care for those. What about a guinea pig if I'd like to do something different or maybe get a pet for the first time?
Yeah, so guinea pigs are great little pets. They really do need a little more care than cats and dogs. They're prey animals. You know, you see pet stores all around selling these. You know, we have a movement we're working with legislators to not have them sold in pet stores because they do need a little more care. They are herbivores, so they eat vegetables and hay and things like that. They are wonderful pets for children, especially emotional support animals. That's how I actually started. I had an emotional support guinea pig for my daughter who has anxiety, and it changed a lot. So,
oh, wow.
That's one thing I have to say is because they're so small, you know, you can cuddle with them, you know, you just, they're great little animals. But they're not for everybody. You know, you have to think about the allergies to hay and things mm-hmm. like that. If you have allergies, that may not be a good fit.
Now, would they normally, you know, with a cat or dog, you just let them, you know, run around the house. Do the guinea pig, do they need to be in a specific area or can you let them roam?
So you can. They do need extra space. The cages that they sell in pet stores are usually far too small for them.
Yeah.
They need room to run around and play. A lot of people will have a cage for them to keep them safe, but they will give them what we like to call floor time for the zoomies, where they run around and play and have their veggies and things like that. So you don't have to have a huge area for them all the time, but they do need some extra time to get some exercise.
What about in terms of a lifespan for a guinea pig? What would be the typical range that you're familiar with?
So a lot of times the males and females are different. Some live 3 to 5, 5 to 8. I know somebody years. I know somebody who has one that's over 10 years old,
oh, wow.
Which is quite incredible. I mean, I've never really seen any, but a friend of mine actually has. It's really incredible that they've lived that long. But I
yeah.
mean.
That's pretty,
on the breed as well.
Yeah. I was wondering, yeah, I wasn't. So 3 to 5 would be the typical, right? Would that be average?
Yeah.
3 to 5.
Yeah.
But it could be longer, as much as maybe 10 in the case of this very, very wise senior guinea pig.
Yes, definitely. And you know, the older piggies tend to not get as much attention as the younger ones. Everybody wants to adopt a baby. But you know the older ones are gentle and they need just as much love. And to be honest, I actually prefer the older ones.
Hmm. Any type of health issues or things you need to be careful to make sure the guinea pigs do have the happiest and healthiest life?
You do have to keep an eye on their teeth and their eyes. They can get what's called hay poke, where they get a poke in their eye, and it can cause some problems, and you need to see a vet. Keeping an eye on their teeth just to make sure that they're growing even, which is really easy to see. Occasionally you have to have them trimmed, which guinea pigs, their teeth are very much like yours and my fingernails. They just continuously grow and they get trimmed down by them chewing on different things. So it doesn't hurt them at all, and a vet can take care of that easily.
Okay. And then I was going to mention, because we're talking, by the way, this morning with Chris Prue from the Guinea Pig Sanctuary. And up on our webpage, we've got a pair of guinea pigs looking for their new home. Can you tell us a little bit about, just to give people a plug for our pets, Melvin, Star, and Tegan, is it?
Yes, Melvin Starr and Tegan. Melvin Starr is actually one that has been with us for a little while, and he does have some issues with his incisors, and they do require trimming occasionally. Every couple of months, he goes to see the vet. He's been with us for some time because people don't really understand how it is working with their teeth and things like that, but it's not very expensive, and he's really a great boy. And his friend Tegan, they're a bonded pair. They're about 2 years old, and they're really special and looking for a wonderful home. So, if anybody would love that, we'd love to have them check us out.
All right. Well, we encourage people to get the link, by the way, on our website, 959watd.com. You can see a photo of Melvin Starr and Tegan, and it has a link to Guinea Pig Sanctuary. That's guineapigsanctuary.org, guineapigsanctuary.org, and you can find them also on Facebook, I believe, as well, and other social media sites, including Instagram at Guinea Pig Sanctuary. Now, so that's where people need to go if they want to learn more, Chris, and maybe get these guinea pigs adopted, right?
Absolutely. Come visit us. We're right in Salisbury on Bridge Road, 129 Bridge Road in Salisbury. We would love to have you stop by. You don't have to have guinea pigs. You can have rabbits. We have a full range of Oxbow products that we sell, and it's our prices are cheaper than the big box stores, and all of the money goes to the animals there.
All right. Again, that's in support of the Guinea Pig Sanctuary, and you can find out more about Chris and his mission at guineapigsanctuary.org. And Chris Brew has been with us. Thank you for joining us for our Paws and Claws segment on WATD.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 959watd.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 959watd.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.